So what a nice word in Parshas Lech Lechu. In the Sefer Beis Yankov, he brings from Reb Lechmil and Reb Shischa. When a person embarks on a journey of Avodas Hashem, he wants to do what Hashem wants from him, he wants to start serving Hashem. So in the beginning, it looks like it's just unachievable, right? The Torah says, Lo b'shamayim. Why? Because to a person, it looks like it's in Shemayim. What he has to reach, what he has to achieve, the progress he has to make, it's so far. When a person starts going, he starts moving forward, he starts doing whatever he could do, then he starts seeing that which looked to him like Shemayim, something unachievable, all of a sudden became Eret, something that he's able to achieve. But if a person says that, you know, I can't get there, I'm not going to be able to, and he just stays put, then obviously he's not going to ever get to where he has to. He says, Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu, Yele Uretz Asher Areku, even if something originally looked to you like it's Shemayim, but I'll show you that it's really Eretz, I'll show you how achievable it really is. And it's a similar idea to what a lot of Surim touch on the Pusik Lech Lechum, Ma'artchum, Latchum, Vasavichu, which are like three levels of limited capacity. A person feels like, oh, I'm coming from this place, this home, these capabilities, these tendencies, I'll never get anywhere. And Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu, go out of all that. Don't see yourself as being limited. Don't see yourself as somebody who could only do this or only do that. No, I'll show you. Go out of all those limitations. And so much more will be in your reach. And, you know, this is definitely something that we all have to know. Every part of life, every part of any challenge that a person has, it's so easy to say, well, it's not me. I can't do that. I'm not gonna make it. So recently I was preparing an article for Shir, I once said, for Bukhrim. It's so common you see this with Bukhrim and Yeshiva. When they give themselves that identity card, you know, I'm not the boy who is outgoing. I'm not the boy who has good relationships. I'm not the boy who knows how to sit and learn diligently. We all come up with those identity labels. I'm not that. And then a person is taka limited. When a person breaks out of that, and even when it does look difficult in the beginning, a person, I could overcome it. I'll try. I'll do my best. I don't have to stay stuck in that little box that I put myself. There's so much more that a person could accomplish. And I think that when it comes to shalom bayis, it comes to any relationship, it's so easy to see a relationship challenge or struggle as something, well, based on who I am, you know, this is what I'm dealing with, of course. I mean, I'm somebody who gets angry very fast. I'm somebody who doesn't know how to... I'm not selfless enough to make a relationship work. I don't know how to give someone a good feeling. And then stay stuck. And so often you have to overcome that which looks to you naturally difficult, that I can make things happen and move on in order to make your relationships better. So with that, I'm going to read a question, which... There's a lot of different things that I want to bring out of this question and answer, so bear with me. Hi, Rabbi Groen. Thanks for your amazing shiurim. They're very insightful, and I appreciate listening to them on a weekly basis. Okay. So, I don't know. I just want to say it again, because every once in a while I mention it. Some people think that I make up the questions that I read, and that I can tell you clearly I never make up any questions. I'm reading them off a paper. Some people are afraid that I'm changing too many details. I'm not. Just recently somebody thanked me for addressing their question. I took a look. It wasn't even their question. I guess they were assuming that I was reading it so differently from what they presented to me. But I do try to change identifying details. So if anyone's squirming when they're hearing a question, think, oh, it's a good thing I didn't ask my question and have all my details put out like that. You could be sure that I do change the identifying details of whatever it is that I'm reading to make sure that nobody gets uncomfortable. Okay. It's been over a month already that my wife has been dealing with a major family crisis. This family crisis turned into something that's making us have a lot of meetings and a lot of paperwork involved and a lot of technical details to deal with. Okay, I'm not going to go into what the family crisis is. You can probably imagine the stress and anxiety that this entails. My wife recently complained to me that I'm not being sympathetic enough. I'm just busy with the facts and I don't give her enough support. My wife mentioned that since I'm not giving her the support she needs, she'll have to look for it from a friend, but she wasn't happy with that. I acknowledge that, and I think that it's possible that I got caught up in the details and lost sight of the emotional well-being of my wife. Although I am committed to supporting my wife emotionally and being more sympathetic, I feel, however, that as a husband and being involved in the technical aspect of this crisis that she cannot deal with herself, and as a man in general, there's a limit to how much emotional support I can provide, and I think that there's something a good friend could provide more than a spouse can. The next day I told my wife that I think it's actually a great idea that she should open up to a friend who isn't involved in the details, and who isn't involved in the family, and the technicalities, and everything else that we are busy with, a friend who isn't involved with everything else we are busy with as members of this family, and as a couple, and as parents, and maybe that friend could provide just the listening ear and the sympathy that somebody so entrenched as I am cannot. She wasn't happy with that. She feels that in a good marriage, spouses should be able to lean on each other and not have need or not have to seek support from other people. My question is, should I expect of myself to be able to give my wife all the sympathy and emotional support she needs? Or perhaps there's something a good friend can do that even a good spouse, and a very good spouse, and a very good relationship cannot. Is it okay to open up to a friend, and is it a bad reflection on the spouse or the marriage? Okay. So, let me just give my little introduction, and then I'll explain where I want to go with this question. The first line, I don't know if anyone even noticed. Maybe I did because I appreciated the compliment. But the first line was, thanks for your amazing shiurim. They're very insightful, and I appreciate listening to them on a weekly basis. Now, you don't have to listen to me every week, but those who do, and those who listen to anyone on a weekly basis, and those who are consistent in following a certain guidance, a certain mahalach, whether it's a speaker, or it's a mentor, or it's a rebbe, or it's whatever it is, when you're consistent, and you keep on learning the same, you know, the same patterns again, instead of every day looking for inspiration somewhere else, there's both in Ruchnius and Gashmius as well, it definitely gives you a mahalach to follow. Some people, they just one day listen to this one day that one day they read something else, one day they come up with their own ideas, and that lack of consistency doesn't bring them anywhere. So being consistent and learning a mahalach and being able to, you know, compare things and come up with your own ideas based on something that you learned, based on a structure that works and is always following the same pattern is very helpful. That's first of all. Now, I hate debates. For those of you who know, okay, basically it sounds like a debate. The husband feels that it's fine to need a friend, and your husband can't give you everything, and the wife feels that no, in a good relationship, the husband should be giving more. I'm not a debate person. I look at debates a little bit childish. In other words, something that, you know, what's the point of seeing who's right and wrong? I don't think me saying if you're right or wrong or your wife is right or wrong is going to help anyone. And in general, I only address the person asking me. I always say, it doesn't matter who's right and wrong. I'll tell you what you could do in this situation. I don't like addressing two people at once because very often, you know, the husband or the wife says, oh, good, did you hear what he said that you should be doing? Did you hear what he said that you should do differently or that you should, or your mistake? It's not the point. So I like teaching people to address themselves and see what they could do in any given situation. In this case, I do feel that it's important to address, let's call it, both the husband and the wife. And I don't mean the wife in this situation who's not turning to me for guidance. I don't mean that the husband should be pointing to the wife and saying, did you hear that class? I mean to say that there are people in the wife's situation that I want to address so that my guidance to the husband shouldn't be taken wrong. And then there's the husband, there's the person asking the question. So I'm going to try to juggle two responses for two separate people that I think is very important. I'll just start off saying that I hope nothing I say comes across as trivializing the difficulty of dealing with a family crisis or financial crisis or medical crisis or anything. Dealing with something stressful and difficult and challenging is very difficult, and you always have to be very sensitive when dealing with people who are struggling and people who are, you know, dealing with this kind of aggravation. It's not a question. You still have to know what's right and wrong. You still have to deal with it responsibly. I'm just saying it. I don't want anything that I'm going to say, any kind of advice, to come across as, you know, just do what you have to do and stop getting so whatever. That's one. Another thing that I want to point out in advance, something I speak about every once in a while, is that a crisis, any crisis, whether it's a crisis in your marriage, or especially if it's a crisis out of your marriage, crisis with a child, a crisis with anything, Rahman son, is going to either bring you closer or further. Most times that people are dealing with a crisis or a real challenge, something major, it's going to have an effect on your relationship. Now, it's your choice what kind of effect it's going to have, both husband and wife. Either you can use the crisis to become together and show each other more understanding and more connection and know how to give and take the encouragement and the support that you're going to give each other and connect with the crisis and through the crisis, or the crisis is going to make both of you very tense and very anxious and very irritable and make your tolerance level drop, and you're going to get angry at each other. And something that could have been an outside crisis, it could have been isolated to what it really is, turns into something that now consumes you and leaves over the after effects long after the crisis is even gone. And that's something you have to take into account. We're dealing with a difficulty. We have to move now. We're getting thrown out of our apartment. Our child was thrown out of school. We can't pay the bills. And somebody was diagnosed with something or whatever. Maybe this is an opportunity to either get closer or let the after effects, disturb your marriage and your relationship. And say, yeah, that's what happens when you go through these challenges, and just take it the way it comes. So I'd like to start by addressing, like I said before, I'll start by addressing the woman. And I don't mean this woman. I don't mean that his husband should share this with his wife. I don't mean anyone. I don't mean women. And there are many men that are going through the same thing. You can have a man whose father's in the hospital, let's say, or somebody was just nifter, and there's a whole struggle over the Yerisha that we're fighting over now, and there's lawyers and cases, or somebody was just put into jail, Rahman Islam from the family. It could be a man who's upset at his wife and not being supportive enough or emotionally involved enough. I'm just calling it a woman because in this case it's a woman. And I don't mean this woman. Okay. Now, the first thing, like I said before, I feel for you. I feel for you. I feel for anyone going through a challenge, and you do need support. And everyone does. We all do. And you're right that there's no one that can support you like a spouse. There's no one as close to you as a spouse. Let's put it that way. So the fact that you feel the need for support is fine, validated, normal, and good. Those who don't feel the need for support, sometimes you have to wonder why. The fact that you're looking to get it from the person closest to you is also normal and good. Okay. To think that you can get everything from a spouse is a mistake that many people make even before they go through crisis. To think that you could lean on a spouse, which was the wording and not be okay with the fact that there are some things that your husband or wife may just not be able to provide for you, either because no husband or wife can and you need a professional for it, or because nobody that's too subjective or involved in the situation or that close could give and you need somebody outside to give it to you, or because based on their personality and limitation and capabilities they can't give it to you, whatever the reason is, there will always be things in your life that your husband or wife cannot give you. They're just not either capable or trained or whatever it is. It's always like that. You want the room painted, you're upset your husband can't paint it for you. He's not a painter. That's it. There are some things in life, especially when it comes to emotional things, there are things that you cannot get. And there are things that you might need a friend for. And in general, we'll talk about in a moment, in general, you need friends. You can't expect your spouse to be everything. To use against your spouse a limitation that he or she has, for whatever reason, if it's his fault or not, or if you feel it is or not, and then to start manipulating, like, well, if you don't give this to me, I'm going to have to get it from someone else. If you don't do this to me, I have to go to my mother. You don't want that, right? Something about that is very wrong. It's important to understand that your husband or wife or spouse or anyone or sibling or parent only has a certain amount that they could offer you. And there might be things that you want from them that you might just not be able to get. And even if you don't have a friend who could offer it or a parent who can give it, it still might be something they can offer you. I've heard people say, well, my parents don't live here, so you have to do this to me. I don't have parents to turn to. It's just, again, I understand you need it. I understand you want it. Maybe there are ways to even get it. Talk about that soon. But first understand that there are things that somebody might not be able to provide. That's it. We're all limited. And to use against someone the fact that that person could do it and this person, and how come this person has this quality and this capability and you don't, and that to start manipulating that you better do it because or else I'm going to do. That sounded manipulative. I'll go to my friend if you don't. When your husband took you up on it, you got offended. So it's very important to realize this. And in general, the fact that there are friends for a reason, one of the reasons is, aside that you can pick many friends, it's good to have a lot of friends, a big social circle, a big support group. One of the reasons is because friends are less involved. So the fact that your friend can listen to you kvetch about your child getting thrown out of school, for example, and your friend can be more sympathetic and more available and more whatever, and your husband gets more irritated or tense when we talk about it, it doesn't mean your friend is doing a better job or your friend is providing more than your spouse. It means that your husband is irritated by the situation. He's in it with you. And just like you need support, he also does. So to use against the spouse the fact that a friend is maybe even more available, more capable, I'm just trying to explain how these things are not right. And in general, there is room for more relationships. Sometimes people try to use this, not only in these situations, in general. Even the other way around. Like, why are you picking up the phone to your friend? Why do you need friends? I'm here for you. Let's just spend time together. Sometimes spouses become, you get too, it's only me, it's only you, and we don't need anyone else in our lives. Well, maybe sometimes you don't need somebody, but maybe your spouse does. Why are you going out having fun with your friends at night? You're married. You're not a bocher. It's okay. It's okay to have friends. So nobody should use against anyone the fact that they have friends even though they're married. It's okay to need friends. So nobody should use against anyone the fact that why do I need friends? You should be there for me. Especially when it's your husband or wife who's the closest person to you, the most loyal, and the one that's doing the most for you. And people don't realize that sometimes. It's just like children don't realize that about parents. Your husband's taking care of all the technical details. He's there for you. He's trying his best. Your friend is mixing her pot, the supper that she's cooking, and she's listening to you kvetch, and she's okay hearing you out. Does that mean that she's really giving more than him? Is that a reason to look down at him or to make him feel bad and he's not giving you enough? These are all important details that so many people could use chizik in realizing the one who's giving you the most, the one who's closest to you, the one who's taking the brunt of the stress of the situation and trying to be the most loyal and the most there for you is the one that's actually getting hurt the most because you're not giving me enough, and there's someone else who's giving me even more, and it's not more, it's just something else that your spouse may not have been able to provide. There's another mistake that I want to point out to this missus or anyone like this. Very often you don't realize that you're asking for something you don't know what you're asking for. You hear this very often. I need chizik now. I need chizik. Give me some chizik. How can I give you chizik? I don't understand you. I said, I need chizik. Why are you not giving me chizik? Very often you're asking something you don't know what you're asking for. In other words, you don't need to know how to be mechazik someone in this situation. And it's okay. You don't have to know. You're not obligated to know. I have to tell you, figure it out. Go find out. So often I hear these words from people repeating to me what's going on at home. If you don't know how to make me happy or make me feel good, then go find out. It's your responsibility. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure where this responsibility came from, that I'm responsible for your happiness. But especially if you don't know what you want, at least realize, hey, it could be I really don't know what I want. If you don't know what you want, maybe your spouse doesn't need to know. And if you do know what you want, then say what you want. It's fine. It's fine to say what you want. You don't have to feel bad. Somebody was just telling me, he'll probably be listening to this and realize that I'm talking about him, which is fine. He found himself in a difficult situation every once in a while. And when he was in this difficult situation, his wife would respond in a certain way that wasn't helpful. It just made things even more difficult. And instead of just screaming at her or getting upset at her, he told her, let me tell you something. When you see that I'm in this situation, this is what I need to hear from you. These are the words that if you tell me, they'll make me feel good. These are the words that will be best for both of us and for the situation when I'm in that place. It's not good for me, but you know, when you tell me this and this, that's what's going to be most helpful. If you could do that for me, I appreciate it. The fact that he knew what he wanted, the fact that he expressed it in a very clear and assertive way and made himself vulnerable, that made her be able to provide it. And when she did, he was very thankful for her. Everyone went away feeling good. He got what he needed. She felt good that she gave it. He was able to thank her. She got the appreciation she needed. How often do people say, when you see that I'm tired, don't bother me. Say something that I want to hear. What does that mean? Say something. Do you know what you want to hear? So that's also something important. When you want your spouse to give you emotional support, if you know what it is, say what it is in a nice way. And don't be upset that they didn't figure it out on their own. And if you don't really know what it is or what your friend is doing that you like so much, you don't even know what it is. So maybe your spouse doesn't even know what it is. Aside from what I mentioned before, he's not even capable, it's not him, he doesn't know how, whatever. If you know what it is that you're asking for, say what it is. And if you don't know, then acknowledge to yourself that you don't know what it is. And very often people, you know, make that mistake. Now, the idea that a spouse is there to lean on, it sounds a little codependent. You're responsible for my happiness, I'm leaning on you. To lean on someone, again, sometimes you have to, sometimes you're in a situation that requires that, sometimes somebody. But in general, why are you leaning on people? A spouse you could rely on, but not lean on. And it seems that your spouse is very reliable, he's doing whatever he could to help you. Very reliable spouse, you could rely on him, he's there, he's stepping up to the plate. But to lean on him, and I need you to support me, and I'm falling on you, and now it's your burden to carry me and make me feel and all that. There's something about it that just doesn't sound great, and you know, it's very often it takes the focus off what there is. In other words, if the main responsibility of your spouse is to be loyal and be there for you, and that he's doing, but the part about leaning and feeling good he's not doing, and you may not even be noticing how much he is doing what he should be doing and what he's supposed to be doing, and be thankful about it. There's something wrong. You're taking the focus off the main point. And remember, even though you may be taking the brunt of the stress of the situation, it's your family members, it's your siblings, it's whatever it is that you're dealing with, some legal issues, maybe it even affects you personally. It's very stressful for him too. Sometimes people don't realize that. I remember when a guy, he was in the hospital going through a tough time medically, and he kept on giving it out on his wife, not realizing that she was going through a tough time too. Her husband was in the hospital. She was juggling the kids and the home and the responsibilities and the babysitters and the husband and trying the doctors and whatever. But he kept on seeing, but he's a sick man. He's the one laying in the bed, so she should understand that he's allowed to be very tense now. Now again, he's dealing with maybe more difficulty than she is. Nobody should know from this, but you have to realize that she's the wife of a patient and a mother too. So in this case as well, your husband is the husband of somebody going through a crisis and trying to help out, and it affects him on a big level as well. So to be that critical or demanding is not too smart. Now again, like I started off with, I feel for you and I feel for anyone going through a difficulty. Hashem should help us all. We should never know from this. I'm just trying to explain and help people understand that while you're going through difficulty, there's a way to know what to expect from a spouse. There's a way to get it. There's a way, you know, to be more kind and reasonable and more understanding. Now, let me go back to the husband who wrote me this question. To see yourself as incapable, Okay, it's also something we start off with at Dvar Torah. They say, you know, this is too much for me. That's a mistake a lot of people do make. My wife needs somebody who's emotionally supportive. I'm just not that guy. Now, again, I'm not saying that that's what you said at all. I'm just saying people do see themselves very often as being limited, and it comes to certain times or places where they maybe should step up to the plate and learn how to do things better, or, you know, fit the what the requirements of the situation, and they tend to fall back with that identity label of, it's not me, I can't do this. Go to your friend, go to your sister, go to your mother, it's not for me. Crisis does require of people to step up to the plate. Guy was telling me he wasn't doing well. Also, unfortunately, he was in the hospital for a long time. This is another guy. And there was a long history of Shimon Bayez difficulty. And after waking up from a coma and after a lot of whatever else it was, he woke up and he saw his wife there for him. And she was really there for him. And she was helping him. And she was taking care of him and whatever. And he's like, he couldn't figure out, did she take something? He mamash thought she was drunk. He was so not used to seeing his wife being so nice to him. This is years that he never had this kind of treatment. The point is that, yeah, that's normal. It's normal for crisis and for difficulty and challenge to bring out of someone the best, sometimes the worst, like I said before, but sometimes the best. So if your wife is going through a challenge, it's always important to try to flex your muscles and see what could I do a little better. Without her complaining, just to anyone who's in a situation where they see that there's a challenge involved, you know, what could I do better? And bechlal, there are people who don't even have that sense of even looking to help the other person, because, you know, I understand you're going through a challenge, but I'm also, so where does it affect me? And they get so stuck in their own thing. You know, there's a joke about the guy who came to tell his Rebbe that he had his first baby. Rebbe, Baruch Hashem, I got a mazel tov, my wife had a first baby. Oh yeah, is everything okay? Well, I got a cold the other day, but I'm getting back to myself. You know, again, it's all about him. I don't think the questioner has anything to do with this kind of attitude. I'm just mentioning. When somebody does go through a difficulty, it's a different mindset than it was before. So if you're using the same mindset you had before there was challenge and the same attitude that you had, and now you're applying it to a difficult situation that might require or might demand of you a little more, you know, that's something to think about. Now, let me say this. Don't argue or debate with your wife this issue. If it's good to have a friend, if it's not good to have a friend, if a spouse should be giving everything, if you're trying, that's something I mention often. Don't argue about the details. Don't argue about the philosophy. Don't get into the things that just might cause more aggravation or stress. If it's irrelevant, it doesn't matter who's right. And just being more right will make her feel more challenged and get more defensive. So that's something that you definitely don't want to do. I think you should thank her for being clear and assertive that she needs your help. I think you should tell her that you understand her and you're happy to hear it. I think you should also be, you shouldn't get too apologetic. I think you could say clearly that, okay, thank you for telling me how you feel. I have been trying. You never have to deny the fact that I've been trying to be supportive, and I will continue trying to the best of my ability. I might not be able to give you all the emotional support you need, but I will definitely try. With that assertive attitude, with that confident attitude, not telling the other person, go to your friend and get it from someone else because I'm not giving this to you. No, I will try. But you could be clear with the fact that if I can't, or if it's something I can't do, then I don't know, I'll just keep on trying. And if you know what it is that you feel I could do for you, then please tell me what it is. So that's you know, just the clarity and the confidence and showing someone that you do understand them and you're not trying to use anything against them and you're there for them. That's also something that could just like stabilize the conflict attitude. You know, you think this way, I think that way. It's irrelevant. I'm here for you, I understand you, thank you for telling me what you want. Now, I will try to give you some tips. Okay, if anyone who's trying to step up to the plate and be more emotionally supportive, I'll give you some tips. In general, I think that your wife happens to be quite sensitive, which is a discussion of its own, something I talk about in my book, something I mention once in a while, and I have reason to think so, but it's irrelevant. But in the big picture, it might be relevant to just understand her personality better. But I do think that you want to be a step ahead. I think there's something that people sometimes don't realize. It's a certain creativity, it's a certain ambitious attitude of being a step ahead. When you know that somebody's having a hard day, when you call and ask, how was your day, instead of waiting for them to complain, and they're going to complain. So some people are like, okay, I'll wait till she complains, I'll give her chizik. No, call in advance. Follow up on yesterday's complaint. Sometimes people are dealing with so many complaints, they didn't even know where to go. The fact that you remembered something she said yesterday could be meaningful to her. That could be emotionally supportive. And when she does complain about something, or when she does share with you something, some emotional burden or stress, first understand it. First, don't jump to the advice, don't jump to the technicalities, which many people do just because they're trying to make things work and they're trying to be the best person they could. And they think that the complaint is about, you know, this wasn't even done yet, and oh, so I'll do it right now. It's not about doing. wow, taka, shh, wow. There's so many different ways that you could do empathetic listening. It makes someone feel understood, which might be what a friend is doing for her. Like I said, it might not be you. It might be hard to do when you are involved in the technicalities and the details and the responsibilities. But when you're a step ahead and you understand someone and you're making them feel like you really do have them in mind, you're really feeling for them, I do believe that this could make a big difference. In general, you want to feel for a wife, you want to feel for everyone. You don't have to wait for crisis. You don't have to leave your emotionally supportive attitude be only about the difficulty going on here. In general, you could be more there for someone, especially when they're going through difficulty, which makes everything more difficult. So even if there are other areas in your wife's life and your lives that maybe till now have been okay without you being very supportive, even just the day to day, but now that she's so tense, there's definitely more that you could do. I also want to mention something a little tricky over here, and I hope nobody's going to be offended by this. Sometimes, often, you're doing just fine. Sometimes you're really the best spouse you could be. Sometimes there's nothing better you could do. Sometimes you're doing everything I just said you should do, and your wife is still complaining. Sometimes it's important just to know, not to put in her face, but to know, I'm doing okay. She might complain, she might have... she might have different things that are bothering you. And it could be it's just her. Sometimes. And it's not because it's a wife. It's not because it's a woman. It's not because I'm prejudiced. It's not because I'm racist. It's not because I'm... nothing. I've seen many times where people fall for certain complaints, assuming that I must be doing something wrong, and they're trying to figure out what could I do better. Sometimes you're doing everything right. And sometimes it's even important that you let someone know in a very subtle way, similar to what I mentioned before. I'm not sure if there's more that I could do. I could keep on trying. But I don't see where I'm going wrong. And I have to be careful how to apply that. But my point is that sometimes I see people falling for that kind of manipulation where somebody's convincing them they're no good and then they go away feeling like a failure. Recently, I was talking to somebody who took my course in Shalom Bias, and he was telling me that it helped a little bit with a certain awareness, but it didn't help much. Now, when I started asking questions, I realized why it didn't help much. He totally misinterpreted the whole course. The parts where I was talking about his wife, he thought, I probably mean him, the part that I meant him. And I'm not going to go into the details, but I mean to say that it's easy to misinterpret a situation and come across feeling like the perpetrator who's making someone else suffer because I'm not there for them. Who says you're not there for them? Well, she keeps on telling me I'm not there for her. Well, maybe you really are. Especially when it comes across with a certain manipulation. Well, if you don't do this for me, then I'm going to do that for me. Again, I pick up on these things very quickly. There's something about that didn't sound great. The fact that somebody's threatening you, you better do this because if you don't, then I'm going to do that. That alone sometimes is a reason not to. Again, in a very gentle way. But if you teach someone that when you say these words, that if you don't X, then Y, if that works to make you do something you didn't want or you didn't feel you could or for whatever reason was wrong to do, you could be pretty sure it's going to come up again in a different context. You could be pretty sure it's going to come up again. Well, again, if you don't give me this, then if you don't do that. So that alone sometimes is just like a knee-jerk reaction that I have. Oh, so I have to, and if not, then it's just something to think about. Again, I hope people take it for what it is and understand the idea, especially when it comes to children. But the point is that if you find yourself telling your spouse, if you don't do this to me, then I'll do that, or I won't do that, or you're going to have to do this, there's something not healthy about that kind of communication, and it's just something to bear in mind. So again, I don't want you to become resentful against your wife, Chazor Shalom. I don't want you to use it against your wife. I want you to be there for her and be the best husband you can be, and step up to the plate because the crisis or the difficulty does demand it of you, to flex your muscles and be more than you could be. And you'll see that it will become easier as you go on. But it's always good to just remember that it might not be that you're doing anything specifically wrong, and you don't have to feel bad about anything. I do want to end off with a point that I've mentioned in the past, but it goes both ways. It's important to know what you need and what you want from someone, and it's important to know how to get or take what you need or what you want from someone. Let me explain what that means. People are busy with the love languages. The way I want to get love is like this. The way I want to... I don't like when somebody tells me this or this. The way I communicate, the way I understand things is like this. People get very stuck into their own language, let's call it. Right? You have the Dora Fluga syndrome, where people are talking different languages. Now, of course, everybody should learn the other person's language. It would be beautiful if we all understood each other. It would be beautiful if I give you what you need and you give me what I need. Oh, that's wonderful. It doesn't always work like that. And like I keep on saying, it's all about you. So what it means is about... It's about you means that you should try to communicate to other people to the best of your ability in the way that they want to be communicated to. Instead of saying, well, this is how I talk, take it or leave it. No. Try to step out of your box. Try to understand what is it that my wife needs. Let me see if I can give that. It's not me, but let me see if I can give that. And the other way around as well. When your wife talks to you or tries to give you, Don't say, that's not what I need. I don't need it. I told her 1,000 times. I want you to try as much as you could to take someone else's language and interpret it. When you're going to talk to you that half Spanish, half English, you understand that you don't scream at her. You try to figure out what she's saying. So when somebody's trying to give you love or affection or a good feeling of support, try to take it for what they mean instead of getting stuck in the fact that it's not the way I want it. And this is something that goes both ways. The husband here should try to give his wife what he could on her terms because that's what she needs and that's what it means to try to understand the other person. She should be trying to accept what he's doing because that's his way of showing support. And this always goes both ways. And sometimes it's only about you. Sometimes your spouse is totally not on your same page. You should try to understand them and take from them. Give and take on her terms. It's not easy. But this is something that's very important. You know, I say it often when it comes to children, but it's the same everywhere, right? You can't change your child. You can't change your child's nature. You can't change your child's personality. You can work with it. You can work with it. When people try to change them, in other words, this is who I am, and you're going to change to relate to me the way I want. It doesn't work like that. And this is in general relationships. You can't make someone else change. You can work with them. So interesting touch on the idea of what the Malach was telling of Avraham Asura. You're going to have a child. He's going to be a Peira Udam. Yishmuel, he's going to be born a Peira Udam. And the question is, why is he telling them in advance he's going to be born a Peira Udam? Right? A very... idle a child. Why are you saying that about a child before he's even born? And the answer is because when it comes to children, it's important for parents to know this is what it is. Take it. Try to accommodate it. Try to take care of it. Try to relate to it. Don't try to change it. Telling them in advance what he will be was helping them figure out a way to relate to the child. And same thing is when you get married. When you realize that your wife or your husband communicates in a certain way or they have a certain tendency or a certain nature, a certain capability, work with it. Don't fight it. Don't try to change anyone. Don't try to change your husband to give you what he can give. Don't try to change your wife to take what she can't take. Everyone on their own should try to do what they could do. And then even what looked very difficult in the beginning, even what looked like you're going to have to step out of your box and it's too hard for you and you felt so limited, we could all try to make that lech lechum ma'atzech ve'le'uretz asher areku and achieve that which looked unachievable and very difficult and live together with Ayber Shalom Bahava, Ach B'Shalom B'Rayas.